Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Feels like fall.
Yeah, it's good. It has absolutely been. I got a kick out of love our listeners. A couple of them had sent me some messages after the show last week about the pumpkin trees and other places they had seen them. I'm glad to report it is installed and up at my house, McKay, and it looks pretty freaking awesome. So there we go. But yeah, fall is definitely in the air, and we have with us here in the studio Mr. Mike Denslow from Home Street. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good in the studio.
In the studio, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got you. We got you off of the remote connection, and here you are. Now, I'd like to think that you made the appearance today because it's somebody's special day.
No.
You didn't come for my birthday?
No.
I thought that's exactly why you
were
here.
Well, it was mine a couple weeks ago, and you know, I wasn't able to make it then either, but
absolutely.
Happy birthday, Lance.
Well, it was a good present having you here and talking about real estate, so I definitely thought we would lighten the show up a little bit for the birthday show. The market is going great, and in fact, we hear things as we were around. I laughed three times this week. I had to laugh because people approached me and they had gotten our Kenmore Quarterly magazine, and we had our stats come out. That came out this last week, and they're like, "Hey, yeah, I heard the market slowed down, and you know, inventory's definitely up there now." And I literally laughed out loud, and I mean, I wasn't trying to be rude or anything, but I was just like, yeah, we have 800 homes on the market instead of 600. It's a travesty, but it's not, you know, because like I've said, I want to see 1,100 to get to that balanced market.
And well, so, Lance, we've talked about this, Lance. You know, there's the total number of listings and there's how much closed, right? And if you look at the cyclical nature that we're in, we talked about this in the spring. There's going to be that group of people that gets in over the summer before school starts, and then there's going to be a pause. Everybody's back to school, everybody's back in the rhythm, and then they figure out, why didn't we do something over the summer? Well, we're at the end of that pause now because applications are definitely up in the last few weeks and the contracts are coming in again. And now it's everybody who wants to get in before Thanksgiving.
Yep. Before the holidays.
Exactly. And then the next will be
before Christmas.
Yeah. And still, too, I mean, a properly priced home, that inventory number is still very low for Tri-Cities. We had like six new listings last week and five of them, I think, had offers on them and four of them sold. I mean, and so it's still rolling right along. So market is still going great. Fall is going great so far. So we're super, super excited about that activity. We do always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this is A Star is Born, as the title, coming out of Variety.com. Screenwriter Eric Roth. Now, screenwriter Eric Roth, for those of us that don't follow this, when I read the article, I started to recognize. He was the executive producer of House of Cards. He also did the hugely hyped, obviously, A Star is Born remake. And then he had also done Forrest Gump. He was the screenwriter for Forrest Gump.
So he's done okay.
He's done okay, and he's done okay real estate-wise. So he bought former Linda Ronstadt's former Malibu Beach house. He bought it back in 2000 for $4.5 million. Did some remodeling, did some fix-up, held on to it. And now, and this is like in the enclave, like that you see in the movies in Malibu, where there's like that row of 30 houses that are all hanging over the beach, the kind of the quintessential famous shot. Well, this is one of those homes there. bought in 2000 for $4.5 million, on the market now at $15.8 million.
That sounds like 300% to me.
I think he did okay. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous pictures of the place. Guest bedrooms that have their own ocean views, private master. I mean, at that point, does it really matter? But you're right on the beach there. Direct access to the beach. So pretty cool to kind of California dreaming on some of that stuff for sure. Well, one of the things that that came up in the last couple weeks that I had been hearing a lot about, and as we were going on these consultations and working with people, is one of the things people say is, hey, I've got this smaller kitchen, or I've got this smaller bathroom. So how am I going to make that look bigger? And what are some of those tips and tricks? But then I took it a step further, because I said, okay, well, if we want to know what's going on there, kind of the rage, if you look at articles or real estate blogs or HGTV, is tiny houses. You've seen the shows. You've heard about them. And so I thought, we'll lighten it up a little bit on the birthday show. And I want to hear your take from Mike at Elm Street and from Mr. John McKay. McKay, what's your take on the tiny home revolution going on? And then I'm going to talk from a real estate perspective about it a little bit.
Well, once we kick all the rest of the kids out of the house, we've got one in college and Harley is 10. We're probably going to try to get one.
You're in on this.
Oh yeah.
So you're all in on this.
I am all in. I think it's great.
Okay, I love it. Mike Denslow.
Exact opposite.
Exact opposite.
At some point, yeah, downsizing is fine, but downsizing still to a, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
Okay, gotcha.
But tiny houses, no, we both like a little space, and we won't be in a shoebox.
So one of the things I was doing that's really interesting is you start to do the research on these, and there's a blog, in fact, that I'm going to have to give her a call and get on the show. There's a couple of blogs I follow. There's some local residents here, local within, you know, 40, 50 miles of us that are currently have some projects going, and I've been following the blogs. It'd be fun to get them on the show and talk about it. But one of the things you come up from a real estate perspective that you start to look at that people don't always realize is, number one, once I have a tiny house, where the heck do I park it? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things not realized, and so as I started to research for the radio show and I was looking at the different articles and stuff, I came across an article in Travel Well magazine about somebody who had been featured on the show Tiny House Nation. The first thing that she writes in the blog is, one of the pros is she felt like it combined the best of a house and a camper. The problem is, the con to that argument is that after her house was featured on Tiny House Nation, the county zoning official showed up to where it was parked and filmed and said that they had to leave that spot because they were illegally parked on a lot that only allowed zoning for one residence, not two residences.
So in other words, the Killjoy Patrol showed up.
There goes McKay. See, this is why it's good we have our balance on the show. So one of the things that's going to have to happen if this trend continues...
Bribe is, a public official? No.
Is bribe a public official. We're not going to do that, McKay.
I'm just joking.
But we are going to have to talk to public officials about considering exemptions, special use permits, changes... that allow this type of setup to go on. Now, some places consider them RVs, and so you'll see them in an RV park on occasion. And other places don't allow them at the RV park because they don't consider them RVs. So what you have is, as with any type of innovation, you have a new category that everybody's not quite sure what to do with.
We wondered about that. When you watch the show, you do wonder, and Angie and I wondered, okay, where are they parked? Because sometimes they'll say, well, they're building it on land of a friend or relative.
Correct.
While it's being built. But then when they move it,
then
where did you end up?
And that's exactly...
That's a good point.
And that's exactly one of the cases. So I think over the next couple of years, with the popularity of this, with what we have going on, we did a show a couple months ago about ADUs, accessory dwelling units. Portland and Seattle are adopting new zoning changes to allow non-rentable ADUs, accessory dwelling units. So you've got a mother-in-law suite, or you've got an apartment for rent on the back of what traditionally was a single-family residence lot. I think you're going to see tiny houses have to come into some sort of zoning change like this. The other thing that comes into play when you talk about the tiny houses, the shows do a really, really good job of going over the dollars invested when you build the tiny house. For instance, $25,000 to $45,000 or $50,000 for these mobile tiny houses.
They always mention the budget they have to work with.
One of the things that is missing from those amazing glorified TV shows, McKay, is what's the budget for the new F-350 or Power Stroke diesel truck that you need to pull this tiny house around. So there's options there. You know, the art, you know, people talked on different blogs about used vehicles or mileage or how often you were going to be towing it, all the way to the other end of the spectrum of hiring a tow company to move it between towns, etc. So there's definitely some of those cons that you don't always see in the show when you're going over that. And so that was another thing that popped up there. Obviously, like Mike talked about, the amount of size when you go to downsize that you're looking at. And that's one of the things, too, that led us to this topic for this week's show is we have a lot of people that end up, like you said, that when the kids are gone off to college, or maybe their parents have passed away, they were living in a house together, now it's time, the parents never downsized, and so now it's time to get rid of the old family home. So there's a lot of steps that come into play there, and that's using estate sales, using service providers that we have to help clean the house, using our contracting companies to help make repairs that you need to do. And so that downsize process and what you need to do to accomplish that is very, very similar. There's a lot of similarities from going from a regular house to a tiny house as there is in a downsize situation that we see happen a lot.
It's funny to watch those people go through and have to sort out what they want and don't want.
It's absolutely a major, major undertaking.
And a lot of them just get storage units the same size as the tiny house.
there you go. So, folks, we have been talking about tiny house living, the good, bad, and indifferent there. McKay's on the plus side. We've got Mike Denslow on the opposite side over here. When we come back from the break, we're going to check in with Mike about the lack of mortgages available for these tiny houses and what else is going on in the lending world.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been kind of, we might have gone off the rails a little bit, McKay. I mean, this is a real estate show. We're supposed to talk about real property. And one of the things we've been talking about a lot today is tiny houses.
Well, it fell off the trailer.
It fell off the trailer. I didn't think I could ignore it any longer. There's enough shows about it and we talk about it. But one of the things that comes up is it's not considered real property because it's not connected, physically connected to the land. One of the things right before the break we said about that, that's what makes tiny houses, they're not in general, unless you get really, really creative, there's not a mortgage on those. Those are a cash out process. But one of the attractive things about that is people don't want that mortgage debt or payment. So can they, for the price of a car these days for $25,000 to $40,000. Can they pay cash for that or downsize, sell a traditional home, use the equity to purchase a tiny home?
And those are the options they usually mention on the show and briefly.
The options they mention. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mike, who will finance the real property homes.
Yes, houses and land, traditional.
Yes, no tiny house financing going on over here.
No, I'm not aware of any bank that's doing that. You never know. There could be one out there doing
it. But
it's
not financing.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not us. But when you started talking about small spaces and then it's triggered all of these different things, I started, and I saw your images and everything, I started thinking about lines of credit to do this work on these homes. And we've seen the increased equity. We've seen the increased values around here. And so I've done more lines of credit this year than in the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Wow.
And it's a combination because mortgage interest rates are ticking up. You know, if you bought a house and you got a 3.5, a 4, a 4.25 interest rate, and now you're thinking about improving, you're probably not going to do a cash out refinance to get that money and get start a new loan because the rates are higher.
Right. So you, if you owe $100,000 on your house, you want to do $50,000 of improvements. You don't want to get rid of the $100,000 at 3.5% and get a new mortgage of $150,000 at 5.5%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. So a lot of people are getting lines of credit to do this work. And like I said, I think I've got one or two closing next week and several more in the books. And, you know, I might go a year, like last year, I might have done 5 or 6, and now I've got 5 or 6 going at one time.
Well, that really goes along with the topic, Mike, because one of the reasons I brought the topic, and that was, you know, how are you making your small spaces, like your small bathrooms or your kitchens, how are you making those appear bigger or look bigger? And one of the reasons, because home prices have appreciated so much, we're seeing more and more people call our office, ask me about these upgrades, because they're choosing to remodel and stay for 2 or 3 more years as opposed to go and buy new because it's so much economically and so much cheaper for them to do that.
Yeah, we see a lot of people doing that as well. But at the same time, new construction is putting so much new product out there that's helping with the demand of all these people that continue to move to the try.
Absolutely. So one of the things I wrote down, one of the first things that happens is when you have a small space, like a small bathroom, and it's very common, and a lot of people say, oh, I want to do this color on the wall, do an accent wall and leave the ceilings white. Well, when you have a really small space, like a smaller bathroom, and you're trying to make that appear larger for resale, you actually want to paint the walls and the ceiling the same light color. It makes the room feel almost twice as large because you don't have those intersection points. You don't have it make it feel like the wall. It all kind of flows together. A light, bright white color will make that room feel almost twice as large.
Okay, did you hear that, McKay? In your tiny house, in your tiny bathroom, you're going to want to paint it all the same color.
Now, McKay, listen up. I don't know how well this is going to work for the tiny house if you go over a lot of large speed bumps, but if you're trying to make a spot look larger, like a small bathroom, add mirrors. Put larger mirrors and more than you typically would in a bathroom. So a lot of times you'll see, I call them the galley style bathrooms that were longer. You'll see a mirror go from door, you know, 3/4 of the way across that vanity because it makes the room feel larger. And so that's just one of those tips and tricks where you're going to be $400 into a really nice mirror, some paint in that bathroom. And if you only have like 1.5 baths or you're in a smaller home, now you've made those key spaces feel really large as opposed to somebody walking in there and just saying, oh man, I would have bought this house, but it's only one bath and man, it's a really small bath. And so when that's all you have to work with, that's a major, major thing. The other thing that we had on the list, and this goes for entire households when you're reselling, not just limited to small bathrooms, but a good rule of thumb is to, you've got to eliminate the clutter, especially in extra small spaces. It's like adding gasoline to the fire. I mean, it just makes it worse. If you don't need it in there, store it elsewhere. So really pare those rooms down to the necessities, especially if it's for sale or showing. Move some of that stuff to the garage. I'd much rather have a storage cabinet in the garage than I would in a key room like a bathroom or a smaller kitchen in a house that you were trying to sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it seems basic, but you see it a lot of times where you're like, man, this house could sell for $2,000 more, or it could sell twice as fast if we fixed a couple of these key problems. So those are some of the things that we're definitely always after when we're looking at small spaces, making them feel larger. I do have this week another great pick three. Like I talked about, inventory hovering now right around 800. There are some fantastic homes back on the market, and that's why we're seeing sales uptick a little bit here. 244 Wright Avenue. This is a 5-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler in central Richland, right across from Beverly Heights Park. 2,400 square feet. You've got masonry wood fireplace, new laminate wood floors, kitchen and dining area with bamboo floors, slider goes out to the covered patio, master bedroom has a half bath, lots of two roomy secondary bedrooms with a full bath, really, really nice space, backyard oasis, fully fenced, mature landscaping, and you're coming in with all of that at $279.5. So really hard to get that under 300 Great Richland location. Pick number two, 4104 Windview Court, West Richland. West Richland cul-de-sac location. I tell you what, the first time I saw the pictures of this in our office when our listing agent came back, I was like, what is that house? That's incredible. 4-bed, 3-bath with an office, 3,100 square feet, newer home, formal living, hardwood floors on the main level. You've got great room layout with a spacious kitchen, granite countertops, oversized master suite with dual walk-in closets, soaking tub, and dual sink vanity. And then you've got a huge, fully fenced backyard that has a garden area, fruit trees, and a covered patio. And then you've got a 26x24 shop that also has loft storage. So you've got new construction home, West Richland, 3,100 square feet, shop, and that's coming in just under $449.9.
Wow.
So fantastic, fantastic location there. And then pick number three, 1512 West 40th. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home in Royal Anne Estates, 1907 square feet. Comfortable layout. You've got living room with corner gas fireplace. You've got a spacious kitchen, tile counters, tons of extra cabinets, breakfast bar, upper level master with walk-in closet, dual sink vanity, jetted tub. Really, really nice place. You've got a double gate and a concrete pad for your RV or boat. And that's coming in at $265. So we're just in the sweet spot where we're putting on some of those homes in that 250 to 300 price point that has been, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, really, really hard to find. And just in the last week, we put on some great new inventory. So if you've been out of the market, you've been thinking about buying, there's some new options, and fall is looking really, really good to be in the real estate market in Tri-Cities. So if you've been out of the market for a while or you were previously frustrated, give us a call. We'd love to help. 727-8977 is my number, or kenmoreteam.com. Mike on Home Street Front, how can we get a hold of you?
572-3651.
Great to see you back in the studio, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.